Welcome to Money Markets and Masterminds, a Citywire South Africa podcast that delves into the intricate world of finance, investment, and strategic decision-making. If you're a fund selector, independent financial advisor, or institutional capitalist looking for insights, analysis, and expert opinions to enhance your perspective, you're in the right place here with me, editor Ruan Uester. Today is our 13th installment of an underlying series in partnership with Morningstar South Africa called Mind Over Market, where we provide the latest insights on monthly investment trends and market developments. This week, we're unpacking a milestone in Morningstar research, the first ever South African active-passive barometer. It's a rigorous data-driven look at how local active managers stack up against their passive peers across equity, bond, and property categories. I have Michael Dodd, Senior Fund Analyst at Morningstar South Africa in studio today, who will break down the findings, compare local and global results, and share what this all means for portfolio construction in 2025 and beyond. Michael, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Ron. It's great to be here.
This is a big one. So let's start with the basics. What exactly is the active passive barometer and how does it work?
Yes, yeah, we're excited about this. The Morningstar Active Passive Barometer is a flagship piece of Morningstar research that it publishes across regions in the US, Europe, Asia, etc. And this is the first time we've published this report in South Africa, focusing on qualifying South African categories and drawing insights from the reports published by our global colleagues. The Active Passive Barometer is a report that quite simply measures the performance of active funds against their passive peers in their respective Morningstar categories. It measures the success of active managers in a fairly unique way. Importantly, it measures the success of active funds against a composite of actual passive funds in that category and not against a costless index. So in this way, you're measuring the active funds against the actual net of fee performance of the passive funds available to investors. It also takes into account survivorship bias and measures the success rate of active managers over different time periods. So where the success rate is defined as the percentage of funds that started the sample period and both survived and then outperformed the return of the passive composite over the return period. So the report that we've just published, that looks at these metrics across both South African and select global Morningstar categories to the end of 2024.
So let's get straight into the results. What stood out in the South African equity space?
Yeah, so 2024 was a good year for active managers in the South African equity category. The active success rate stood at 83.6% for the calendar year. And if we think back on South African equity market performance in 2024, it was a year that was characterized by strong performance in the mid and small cap parts of the local market, particularly relative to something like the FTSE JSE Top 40, for example. And that meant for active managers that there was a greater breadth of opportunities and more room to maneuver to add value in the last year. If we do zoom out, though, and take a longer-term perspective, the picture does change. So if we look over the last 10 years, in the last decade, the success rate for active managers was a fairly disappointing 25%. So call it one in four South African active equity managers able to outperform the passive composite over a 10-year period. And this kind of finding isn't too far out of line with what we've seen in the findings of other regions' barometers, where it's not uncommon for active funds to outperform in the short term, depending on what market conditions are doing in any particular year. But success rates do tend to be lower over the long term.
You mentioned other regions, so let's look at global equity funds. How did they perform by comparison to its passive peers?
Yeah, much worse, I think would be the short answer. 2024 was a difficult year to be an active global manager, particularly in global equities and in the global large cap blend space. So this is against the backdrop of, if you cast your mind back to 2024, a really strong US equity market last year and a really narrow and concentrated market leadership driven by some of the big tech names in that market. And all things I'm sure that the listeners will be familiar with as the dominant story behind markets in 2024. That kind of market environment makes it really difficult for active managers to outperform low-cost, market cap-weighted passive strategies. So over the last year, active managers in Morningstar's global large cap blend category only recorded a 13.8% success rate And again, when you apply a longer term lens to those numbers, they don't get any prettier. We're only around 4% of active funds in this category beat the passive composite over a 10-year period. So over the long term, particularly in this core global equity category, the case for passives in this area remains fairly overwhelming.
Michael, did emerging markets do any better?
They did, yeah. So global emerging market managers did particularly a lot better than those focused on, developed markets. Around a third of active managers beat their passive peers in this space in 2024. But again, similar to what we've seen across some of the other equity categories, this number does drop lower as you extend your lens and look over longer time horizons. I think similar to what we saw in developed market counterparts, performance in emerging markets has also largely been driven by a small cohort of tech names, particularly things like Taiwan Semiconductor or TSMC and Tencent, and where managers were underexposed to these really large index constituents. That was a common source of their underperformance over different periods.
Let's move into fixed income. How did local bond managers compare to their passive peers?
Yeah, so 2024 was a very strong year for the local bond market, and managers here actually produced fairly reasonable results. So while the asset-weighted performance of both the active and passive composites were pretty much in line for the year, the one-year success rate for active managers in this category was around 55%, and that rises actually as you extend the time period to a longer five-year period, which demonstrates to us that particularly in this diversified bond category in South Africa, that active managers have generally been able to add value here, where things like your duration and your credit positioning matter quite a bit.
Active manager had a stronger year than usual when it comes to global bond funds, didn't they?
Yeah, that's right. So what our global colleagues observed in looking at the global bond categories is that active managers generally had higher success rates in 2024 than they have in the past. 2024 was quite a volatile year for global bond markets. Managers were able to add value through duration management in the first half of the year, but what they found is that success rates started to drop off a little bit in the second half of the year as the bond market conditions changed quite a bit and they were perhaps unable to adapt to some of the changing market conditions. One area to highlight in particular where active managers in the global bond space continue to find success is in global credit. So the global corporate bond category saw around a 66% success rate over the last year and maintain a pretty decent 40% success rate over a decade. And this is an area, particularly in the global fixed income space, where active managers have demonstrated an ability to add value over extended periods.
Michael, last year, property as an asset class was the best performing asset in 2024. So how did the passive-active race pan out?
Yeah, so listed property has become the long forgotten about asset class in South Africa, but we still have a fairly large number of specialist funds and passive options that operate in the sector. Compared to some of their recent history, active South African property managers struggled a little bit relative to passive peers in 2024, so an active success rate of around 33%. But if we apply, again, the longer-term lens here, the success rates of active managers in this space has actually been pretty impressive, with a 10-year success rate of around 60% for South African property managers. And this compares actually really favorably to the results of active managers in the global property category, where the 10-year success rate there of, call it 21%, is actually quite a bit lower.
Michael, so with all these performance figures in mind, what should investors or advisors take away from this barometer?
Thanks, Ron. That's a great question, because investors may be thinking, you've got all of this information and everything that comes from the study, but what should they do with it? And the active passive barometer is a really useful tool that can help investors calibrate their odds of succeeding with active funds in different areas in which they are looking to make allocations. In looking at it, we would probably say that 1 year is not sufficient enough of a time horizon from which to draw conclusions, as success rates can fluctuate from year to year based on what is going on in markets. But longer time horizons and looking at some of those longer term trends provide stronger signals that investors can incorporate into their decision-making process. And they can use these to effectively choose where it makes sense to go active or passive in their allocations. generally, I think what our global counterparts have found in their barometers rings true with this version as well, is that particularly in the equity space, active managers have tended to achieve better success rates within mid and small cap categories compared to those focusing on large cap stocks. And that's particularly true when looking at the results and success rates in the global and US large cap equity categories, for example. Another fairly interesting thing to note is the likelihood of a fund's survival is really closely linked to its success rate. So when active funds falter and have a shorter lifespan, that's usually attributed to subpar performance driven by poor stock selection that then gets compounded by charging higher fees relative to passive alternatives. And quite interestingly, if we look at South African funds and their survivorship rates relative to their global equivalents, South African funds have generally exhibited a greater survivorship rate, which would suggest that active management in South Africa has proven a little bit more fruitful than it has in global markets.
That's very interesting. So how does all this data inform Morningstar's portfolio construction?
Yeah, great question. Because, you know, when at Morningstar, we believe that both active and passive strategies have a role in investors' portfolios, and we make use of both in the portfolios that we build on behalf of our clients. That said, we are quite selective. We are happy to engage active managers where we feel that they can add value, but will otherwise quite happily use a full array of vehicles if that helps us achieve our objectives on an after-cost basis. Because our research has shown that low-cost investing is a surefire way to improve outcomes. But in looking through the evidence and looking through the numbers, you know, there are times where it can be justified to pay up for active management, depending on the either the market environment that you're in or the asset class that you are looking to target for exposure. So what this type of report provides is an evidence-based lens through which we can make informed investment selection decisions when building portfolios on our clients' behalf.
Michael, as a last question, we have all this information of what happened in the past, but is there any indications of what's going to happen in 2025 and beyond that?
Sure, Rowan, and that's the million-dollar question, and you know we try not to forecast the future. We think that you know that investors have. Or ourselves as investors have a pretty limited ability in being able to call that sort of stuff correctly. But what we do when we build our client portfolios is we apply a forward-looking lens, not just to the asset allocation and how we position portfolios, but also I think to the instrument selection and the types of assets that we bring into portfolios. All of that is driven, I guess, through our investment process. And looking at a valuation-driven framework, which, you know, history has shown is that that provides a fairly reasonable guide for, I guess, how things might pan out in the future.
Well, that brings us to the end of another fantastic discussion around markets and the minds behind them. It was short, it was sweet, and it was straight to the point. Thank you, Michael, for your time and insights and joining us for another episode of Minds Over Markets with Morningstar. We look forward to meeting with you or one of your team members next month for another in-depth discussion. To all our CityWire South African listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode of Money, Markets, and Masterminds with me, editor Ruan Uyster, and my producer, Alan Walsh, from the CityWire Studios team. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your network. We're available on all major platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iono.fm. All CityWire South Africa podcasts and videos are also available on our homepage on our website. So please go register and explore our growing library of multimedia content. And with that, and until next time, goodbye.